I have a really bad cold this morning, so bear with me if I'm coughing and sniffling. So anyway, before we start, let's pray. I feel very scattered. Oh, Father in heaven, Lord, you see us here, Lord. You see me. You see my own needs, Lord. And Father, I beg of you this morning to just speak through me. Father, keep me out of the way, Lord. I beg of you that you would minister, that your word would minister to the congregation here, Lord, not me. Father, speak to my own heart this morning. Draw us each close to one another and to yourself. Father, help me to share the things you want me to. Take the things off of my mind that you don't want shared. And I pray that my mind would be clear, Lord. Speak through me, oh God. Help me to be a vessel for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this morning, I got a little short devotional. It's not anything much. There's three words I want to talk about today. They all mean the same thing. And your mind probably went everywhere but where I'm going with it. First one's me, and the second one's myself, and the third one's I. And it all results in me. I think they're probably the three, if you really think about it, probably the three most detrimental things to the Christian life. If we go to 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, just for a little... It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We always use that verse and we say, you can't love money, right? Well, you're dead right. But that love, if you actually look it up, I was looking into it this morning, it's covetousness. It's simply selfishness. It's simply me. It's simply everything that's wrong that I create. That's what it's talking about. That's the root of all evil. And the damage it does, think about it. That's what causes me to throw that sarcastic comment at my brother, to hold him just a little off, to come here on a Sunday morning and live a double life. It's that love for me. I can't humble myself. That's what keeps me from saying, hey, brother, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I should not have said that. That's what keeps me home on a Sunday morning when I just don't feel like coming from church. It's because it's a desire for me to make me happy. And we all know this. We all say, yeah, that's dead wrong. Wow, what in the world? Honestly, selfishness, that's something we tell our little children, don't be selfish now. Come on, Johnny. Sorry, Johnny. Excuse me. But in all honesty, we fight it just as much now as we fight it then. I think more probably. And yet we look at others and we say, hey, what? Why? Honestly? What do you think you're doing? That comment hurt. I can't believe you just told me that. And in all honesty, the self caused the comment and the self caused the hurt. Myself saying, hey, get off of my toes is what caused the actual hurt, not the comment. The comment was wrong. But it causes so much damage. You say, oh, what about immorality? What about looking at my phone when I shouldn't? What about extra screen time? That's not love for self. Yeah, it is. What caused it? Why am I there? What's causing me to go there? It's a desire to please me. And the more we please it in little ways of letting myself a little bit of pride, letting a little bit of whatever it is in life, when it comes to a big issue, what we call a big issue, we fall there too because there's no discipline. You know, I think about it often. I may have said this before, but we live probably as our type of people. We live the most undisciplined life there is, and we all get up when we feel like it, and eat however much junk we feel like it, and drink as many iced coffees as we want, as long as we don't get too crazy from them. And like we do what we want, we just do whatever we feel like. And then when it comes to staying off my phone, then when it comes to immorality, then when it comes to a big thing, we ain't got no self-control there either. It all starts at the little things. And it's all because of me, that the drive for me to be happy. I'd like to go through James 4 a little bit. Start in verse 1 and go through up to like 10 or something. Excuse me. Starting in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I'd like to go back. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. What? We don't go to war. What are you talking about? Not us. In all honesty, brothers and sisters, what is it? What is it when I snob my brother off? When I live my life in a way that's offensive to someone else, is that not killing them spiritually? Is that not a destruction? He's talking to brothers and sisters in the church. I don't think they were going to war. I think he's talking about a much more in a spiritual way, how we live our lives here on this earth. Know not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. I don't think he's talking about how they dressed. In all honesty, I think they all dressed about the same back in the day. Dress is important. Don't take me wrong on that. Sorry. My point is, what he's going through here is he's describing self and the damage self does. And he says that the friendship of the world was enmity with God. That self, that's the friendship with the world. When we're pleasing self, that causes me to dress immodestly. That causes me to drive that fancy truck. That causes me to go after that big dollar that I don't need. You know, those things are caused from myself, and if we can just fix self, if we can just deny self and go to look to God and serve Him, like look to please Him, it'll fix so many of our problems. He says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. What causes our pride? It's me. It's myself. It's I. It's like just bug off. Don't touch me. You know, it's the fear of somebody else thinking I'm dumb and I'm stupid. I can't share that because what if he thinks I'm crazy? Like, you know, I don't want to talk about the Word of God like nobody else does. That's my pride. It's caused for me. He says, humble yourselves. Then God can help us. If we just look to God and we say, we need help. Like, it's not me to just serve God, to please Him. Then He can lift us up. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Let's just get rid of me. There's a separation. When we put me, I'm behind it, and then I hold me up in front of me, I hide God. I can't. I gotta throw it out of the way and step around it. There's a story. Forgive me for all my Civil War analogies, but I love it, and so I'm gonna say another story. The story of General Bragg. He was a Confederate soldier, general, and there was General Rosecrans. He was a Union general. And they were on opposite sides of the Stone River. It's the Battle of the Stone River. If any of you know history, you can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. General Bragg they'd fought for 2 or 3 days. And to start with here, my point in all this is just to show the selfishness of man and what it drives him to do. And it happened over and over through the Union Army especially, not so much the Southern Army. The Union Army happened over and over. You had a young general, promising officer, and he was dashing. Man, he'd give his life for the cause. He was at the front of his line saying, go, go, go. Powerful young man. His self didn't matter. He was willing to die on the battlefield, and it didn't matter. All of a sudden, Lincoln's watching. Lincoln, President Lincoln, he's like, hey, I like that guy. He's worth something. That guy's going to win my war. And he puts him to the front of the battle. All of a sudden, he's in charge. He says, hey, General McClellan, you can just go hit the road. You know, we got so-and-so in here now. Didn't take more than a couple weeks, and this guy was a mess again. Because we allow self to all of a sudden take over us. And it goes through our every one of our decisions. We run it by ourself first. And it comes out in a wreck. Anyway, General Bragg, top general in the Confederate Army, one of the top generals. And they'd been fighting for 3-4 days, something like that. And really, we're getting absolutely nowhere. I think the Confederates had gained like 3/4 of a mile tops. You know, they were just sitting there, just destroying each other. And then there was a pause, and General Bragg was going to renew the fight on the next morning. And he told Breckinridge to lead the charge. And Breckinridge, he said, you couldn't see the whole Union Army from where they were, but he snuck out through the grass, and he was able to see there was a trap being set. Just point being, the Union Army was here and around here, and you had the river, and then you had the Confederates. And they had all this whole ridge was lined with artillery, just, I mean, masses of cannons. And it was all hidden from the Confederate Army. And Breckinridge, he saw all this and he said, "Bragg, yeah, right, you got to be kidding me. We ain't walking into this trap. I mean, this is just a total destruction." And Bragg said, "Nah, you don't know what you're talking about." He never even got out of his chair and went and looked. He said, "Nah, you don't know what you're talking about." He said, "I'm in charge here, buddy. You're going to listen to me." And he said, "And you're going to lead the charge." And they started out across this 3/4 of a mile wide open field and just cannons blowing through them and just destroyed the army, completely destroyed it. It was one of the top brigades they had. They made it to the other side and crossed the hill and right there in face of all the cannons and whatnot. And I mean, I think they had like 50% loss in a half hour, just destroyed them. And yeah, Breckinridge went to the back, and I think they earned the name of the Orphan Brigade because he said, "My poor orphans," he was crying, and just his men just destroying them. But what my point is here, what drives a man to do something like that? How could Bragg honestly just throw his men's lives away just so he could be right? We say, "You don't really, honestly?" Brothers and sisters, we do the same thing. We sit here and we won't give, we won't say sorry, we won't forgive. We have this thing, we have these things between us, and we destroy those around us. And we lose our children, we sacrifice the lives of our children, we sacrifice the lives of our brothers, we sacrifice our ministry so we can be right. So we're not backing down. Yeah, right. I don't know, it just all of a sudden hit me. Like, we say, "Really, Bragg? How in the world?" And yet, is there any similarities in my life? And then my thoughts go to how do we combat this? We all know it's a big deal. You guys could have all agreed with me when I started that, yeah, self's a big deal. I didn't have to just say all that. But how do we deal with it? What are we going to do about it? Like, are we just going to keep saying, we got to stop, you know? I don't know what to do, but we got to stop. Or are we going to do something about it? And I don't always know. This is something I fight with. It's really, just to be real honest with you, it's really hard for me just to take direction sometimes. And I ask you all could pray for me, but just to, how are we going to fix this? So one thing I often think of is to look at the majesty of God and like how great and how powerful he is. And yet we think as these little midgets running around that we have one up on everybody. And yet we're just creation. We're like nothing. I don't know if it's quite a fair comparison, but sometimes I think of it as me taking a going out to the garden and digging a little worm up and bringing him inside and, "Aw, you're so cute. Look at you," and pet him a little bit. And if he feels bad, it makes me feel bad too. And whenever he wants something, I go get him another little, I don't even know what to eat, something to eat. And you know what I mean? Just taking care of him, like, and just holding him. And I'm always there on call. I never go to work. I just wait on him all the time. And I got 50,000 of these, by the way, and I love them all the same much. You get my point. Like, to God, like, what are we really? Like, we're tiny. We're nothing. And yet he cares about us. And somehow we think that ourself is big enough to be recognized. I'd like to go a little bit through Colossians 3 yet. It's just a little bit of something to combat this with. There's a story of Benjamin Franklin, I think it was. He was Benjamin Franklin. He visited a Puritan minister, and he was at the church, and as they were walking out the back entryway, it was dark and couldn't see it. All of a sudden, the minister said, "Duck!" And Franklin, he didn't know what. He kept walking and whacked his head on the beam. And he said, "Young man," it was when Benjamin Franklin was really young, he said, "There's going to be so many times in life somebody's going to tell you, duck. And you're going to say, why? I don't see nothing. Like, why just I'm walking? Why can't I keep walking for?" He said, "And you're going to hit that beam every time." He said, "Learn to duck when you're told to duck, and you'll miss a couple headaches." Colossians 3, verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God." Does it sound like any of me showing through in any of these verses? "Mortify, therefore," verse 5, "your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and the which also ye also in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The first list in verse 5, we're like, you know, that's not so big of a deal. Verse 7 and 8, but put off all these: anger, wrath. I mean, how easy is it to just get a little frustrated and all of a sudden flip on somebody and like give them just a little earful, you know what I mean? Just, you know, not much. Lie not one to another. How easy is it to say just a little bit of the truth? What about filthy communication? That one can go pretty far sometimes. You know, we'd all say, honestly, we'd never joke about immorality. That's terrible, right? But what about, man, I gotta quit smoking. You guys get my point? What is the joke? Is smoking wrong or not? You know, if it's wrong, why do we joke about it? Is it filthy communication? I don't know. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's just give in. Let's say it's okay, it's fine. Big deal. We're brothers. Let's get along. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, something to overlook the little glitches. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let's allow the peace of God just to work through us. And let's keep ourselves out of the way. And I want to be clear, this is not something I'm good at. And I'd really appreciate if y'all would pray for me. But that we could all grow in this way, to just deny self in every area in life, and to look to God and to live our lives for His glory and honor. So that's all I have. God bless you.